As I prepared to share this morning, I had originally planned on starting a new series, and we finished Daniel, enjoyed going through the book of Daniel, or the first really six chapters, and I was excited about going into a new series, but this week God kind of changed my heart and plans on that, or God revealed His plans on that, and as we take the Lord's Supper this morning, I want to center our focus on that and on the text for that this morning. Just some things that were heavy on my heart as I read and thought about this week and what we would do today. I thought, you know, I think I want to go ahead and share this. We're going to open our Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians 11, chapter or verse 27. Can we do better than that? 1 Corinthians 11:27. To explain that, they were kind of divided that first time. They were unsure. The youth, they informed me this morning, or James did. He said, I want to give you a warning. The speaker at Falls Creek all week, anytime he would say, we're going to open our Bibles to, and he would read the text, the kids were to whoop real loud and to get real excited because they're excited about God's Word. And he said, is it okay if they do that this morning? My original plan was to come up here very solemn this morning and just read the text. I said, I'm going to change my introduction just a little bit so that they can have a chance to whoop. My only condition of that for you guys and the adults is if you whoop because you're excited about God's Word, get ready. Chapter 11, verse 27. Sometimes God's word tells us things that typically our minds aren't very excited about. It challenges us. It's hard sometimes to read God's Word and go, whoop, every Sunday. So my only condition is, if you're going to whoop, be as serious about as we read as you are when you whoop. And I'd love every Sunday for the adults and kids. I'd like to have a competition. We just get excited. It's on a pastor's heart. If you're excited, not about my sermon, but about God's Word, that's where we need to be, church. And I want to warn you, 1 Corinthians 11:27 is challenging. I've dwelt on it all week, prayed about it all week, and I will tell you the sermon this morning is going to be a little different. I want you to prepare your hearts. I want you to be ready for what God's going to speak to you this morning. 1 Corinthians 11:27, it reads, whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. These are words that we've read or heard over and over again. You know, when you read things like, for this reason, many of you are weak and ill, and some have even died, God's Word makes you kind of go, whoa, do I want to whoop that? I don't know. It's kind of a scary verse. I remember the very first time I was allowed by my parents to take the Lord's Supper. The pastor got up and he read from this text. I'd been saved and I'd been baptized. I knew what it meant to be a Christian. I knew I was a Christian. But when the pastor read those words, I questioned whether or not I really wanted to partake. I began to think, Mom, Dad, do you know what you're doing, saying that this is okay? And that is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. I was afraid. How was I to examine myself? That was the question that I had in my mind. Had people really gotten sick and died because they had shared this meal incorrectly? For a little boy, those are scary words. And even for us grown adults, what we typically do to protect ourselves from that is we don't whoop at God's Word. We separate ourselves from it. And we say, well, that was then, and I don't know if that still happens today, because in our minds, sometimes we try to form a different God today than was then. But I'm here to tell you this morning, church, the God that penned these words to the Apostle Paul is the same God that we're here today. And this is the same table that we're about to share, as Paul the Apostle shared and spoke of in this verse. It may have changed in type a little bit. We may do the ceremony a little different those things. But God is the same and the ordinance is the same. And that means that these verses are still the same. For a little boy, those were scary words. For me today, they're still scary words if we don't understand them. As I thought about that, I realized that maybe I never answered my childhood question. What does it mean to examine yourself? What's it mean to prepare yourself for the Lord's Supper? The Lord's Supper is a dangerous thing. The truth is, in front of you today is life and death, according to the Apostle Paul. Now, how many of you came in here this morning and looked at that table and thought, there in front of me is life and death? If I said, now, every one of these vials, every other one has the bubonic plague in it, you would be a little bit afraid. Did I get it or did I not? You would realize life or death resides up there in that Lord's Supper table. That's what Paul says today. It's life or death. If you take it incorrectly, it can mean some of people had fallen asleep, some have gotten sick. I want to make something of this verse because I don't think we typically do. I think typically we try to draw a line and say, I won't want to think about that. But it's not just a table of fellowship. It's a table of fellowship. It's a table of love. It's a table of sacrifice. It's a table of remembrance. But it can also be a table of judgment and a table of danger. For those that are fearful now, and I hope maybe somewhere in your hearts I've maybe inspired a little bit of fear or cautiousness this morning, because I do want you to know it's a dangerous thing to approach this table the wrong way. But today we're going to talk about that danger. We're going to talk about what it means to examine yourself. This word examine, let him examine himself. But we're going to see really what that means. When it comes time to share the ordinance of communion, how do we get ready? There are two dangers that we face when we come to the Lord's Supper table. Should be shorter today. The two dangers are on the screen. I'm going to show you in just a second. Two dangers we're going to look at. The first danger is the sin of despair. The first danger is when we feel that we're not worthy, that we're unworthy to come and partake today. The danger of unworthiness is the first thing we're going to look at. There are some of you today, I've read that verse, and as I begin to share, you've thought about your life, and you've thought about your week, and you've thought about the last month, you thought about the words you say, and the attitudes you have, and you've thought about who you are. I hope you have. If you haven't, you need to. And you came in, and as I shared about examining yourself and being prepared, you thought, am I ready? And you thought about those things. And somewhere along the way, as you thought about yourself and the attitudes that you have and the actions that you have, you've come to the conclusion that you are unworthy. As you sit in your seat, you think, I don't know if I'm worthy to partake today. You've concluded that somehow in your life you've disqualified yourself from sharing in communion. You may have even considered not taking it today. Maybe in your heart you thought, maybe today I'm going to let it pass me by. I'm not going to. Or maybe you just deem yourself not worthy, but in your mind and heart you say, I'm not worthy, but there's no way I'm going to let the person beside me think that today. So I'm going to go ahead and play the game and partake and pretend. We all do this, even though my heart is not ready. Now, I want you to stick with me the whole sermon today, because if you stop at some point, you're going to get really confused. I want you to stick with me. It's going to take that. I once had a friend in college that was like this. I loved him very dearly. Knew him for 12 years, actually, from kindergarten all the way through high school, and then 3 years through college. Great young man. His name was Kyle, and I loved him dearly. He spent a lot of time in my house. But for years, every time we shared communion, every time that I ever knew him and saw him and he took communion in church, he would always pass it by. He would never take it. And I don't know, love Kyle, I talked to him a lot about that, but somewhere around his life, and he told me, I'm not right in my walk with God. He was a Christian, he had been baptized, but he never felt like he was worthy enough. And so every Sunday that we would partake, whenever it came around, he would just pass it on to the next person. Sometimes he would even skip that Sunday altogether because he wanted to avoid the whole deal. But as long as I knew him, he would never pretend take when the time come. There's some of you that maybe haven't been that extreme here, but every time you come to the Lord's Supper, you have those feelings, and you have those wonders, and you have those doubts, and you think about your week and your life, and you think, well, I'm just not there. I'm just unworthy. And there's a danger there. For those like him that struggle with feeling unworthy, the problem is simple. You have too good of a memory. Your memory is too good. When you come to the Lord's Supper, 1,000 images run through your mind. You replay the whole week. You replay your life. 1,000 dim events from the past come back, and you think about them. And all these skeletons that you've locked in your closets, they come out of the closets, and you're thinking about them. And all that they scream is, you're not worthy. You're not worthy. You're not worthy. You have to pass it by. You're not good enough to come to the table of the Lord. And there is this feeling on the inside that when it comes time, you know what? I'm not going to partake today. I'm just going to pass them up because I'm simply not ready. Now, I know that actually passing the Lord's Supper up is something that very few of you probably have ever done. I hope you haven't, and I'm going to share in just a second, but I also hope that at some time in your life you have felt the need to, or even the Holy Spirit pressing you to, and I'll show you why this morning. I'm going to compare it this morning very carefully to that of a five-star restaurant. I want you to think about it. Anybody ever been to a five-star restaurant? Anybody? We went one time. Actually, some friends of ours, my wife and I, we can't afford a five-star restaurant, but we were invited to one, and this was a non-suit day. Y'all know what I mean when I say non-suit day? Five-star restaurants, Sue's shaking her head, they have a rule, some of the nicer restaurants in town, you have to wear a jacket. You have to come with a jacket on. You can't wear just a suit and a tie. It doesn't matter how nice it is. You have to have a suit on in order to enter the building. And sometimes we come to the Lord's Supper table with that idea. Sometimes what we think in your mind, if you've ever been to those places or even past them, you kind of look in and you go, I don't belong there. That is not my kind of establishment. My wife and I, we laughed when we were invited there. We sat down and they give you 17 forks and 3 knives and we're like, what do you do with all this, you know? We were totally confused, and they give you towels at the beginning and towels at the end and salad, and you don't eat with this fork, and you put this fork over here. So we're having to get instructions the entire time what to do with our forks and our knives and our plates. And anyway, it was quite an adventure. And even when it came time to order, we're sitting there looking at the prices going, I just told my wife when we got there, I looked down and said, I'm not ordering anything off this menu, which we weren't paying, but there was no way. I said, I can't do it. And so the host that was invited us out, they had said, well, I'm just going to order for you if you won't order. And he did, and it was wonderful, but we were just confused the whole time with the whole situation, the setting, and we had a waiter the whole time that stood by our table. And that was awkward, because you're wondering, are you listening? Are you, what are you doing? And your drink would get that, and he'd just sit there and fill it up, and fill it up. And we were just so out of place, but that's sometimes how we come. We come to the Lord's Supper, we see that, and we think from a distance, I'm not worthy of that. That isn't something that I can partake in. I can't even go in there. So we just decide, kind of like those restaurants, I'm not clean enough, I'm not dressed nice enough. I'm not worthy enough, so I can't enter in. I'm just going to stay outside. My life is just not ready today. Let me ask you, where are you today? Are you ready or are you unready? Just answer that question in your heart. Where are you at? Are you ready or are you unready? Are you good enough? Are you good enough this morning, or should you let it pass you by? Now stick with me this whole sermon. I know I'm throwing some hardballs at you. Are you ready this morning? Are you ready to partake of the Lord's Supper? Have you examined yourself? Have you made yourself ready according to the way that you're supposed to? Are you ready? Examine yourself. Where are you today? I want you to answer that question in your mind and heart right now. I'm about to blow it out of the water. But I want you to ask yourself, am I ready? Did I come ready this morning? The first danger is that you feel that you're unworthy. That you feel unworthy to come and partake today. But you know, the second danger is very close to it. It's just as dangerous, or maybe even more dangerous. The second danger is that we feel that we are worthy. The second danger is that we feel that we are ready. It's the sin of presumption, that we presume that I am okay. There are some of you here today like that as well. Probably more of you here today like that. I can assume in a First Baptist church, in my own life, this is probably where I was as I prepared for this sermon. And it's probably where most of you are. And I'm going to step on a few toes this morning, or the Holy Spirit is. I just ask. I'm not telling you where you are, but I want you to ask. If you answered that question a second ago, are you ready? Where are you at? I want you to listen the next few minutes. The second danger is that we feel we are worthy. Second danger is that we feel we are ready. Some of you today like that. You may very well think you're the best people in the church. You know the Bible, you know the gospel, you know the grace of God. You may have been in church since the day you were born. Man, you teach a Sunday school class, you're active. You take pride that you're in that seat every Sunday. You take pride that you're active in the church and that you do the work of the Lord. I tell you your problem, the problem of those that feel unworthy, their memory's too good. But those that come in here and say, no, I'm ready, I'm able, I'm ready, I've prepared myself, your problem is your memory's not good enough. You're remembering all the good things in your life that you do, but you're not paying attention or not remembering the bad things in your life that you've done. There's a danger there. You may know theology. You may have a good grip on what it means to be a Christian. And in your own mind, you may think, I'm a pretty good person. Well, those that feel unworthy have too good a memory. Those that feel worthy, their memory isn't good enough. They're forgetting. You take pride in the fact that you're active and that you're doing the work of the Lord. You take pride that you're there every Sunday. You're here today. You take pride that you give week after week and you tithe. And you may give money to the poor. You may do all sorts of good stuff. And in your mind, you think, you know what? I'm worthy. I'm okay. You're a righteous person in your own mind and eyes. You may even be a righteous person in the eyes of the world. You don't think about your sins very much because you know they've all been forgiven. That's most of the church this morning. It's most of the church, and the word that kept being on my heart over and over again, I actually added it to this sermon later. The word that God just kept pricking my heart with, and eventually I just couldn't take it, was the word brokenness. Because you know what, in this church, I see a lot of evangelistic zeal. Man, when it comes to Vacation Bible School, when it comes to ministry, people are excited about it. When it comes even to preaching God's Word, man, I love how y'all get in, you're ready to read the Bible, and myself too. I'm right here with you. But you know what I don't see in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ very often anymore? It's brokenness. You don't see very many broken people anymore. See a lot of people with their shoulders back and their heads up, and man, they'll carry their Bible, and we go to First Baptist Church, and we know that, but brokenness isn't even part of our vocabulary, really. In fact, if I said, when's the last time that you were broken before God, could you name it? Not upset, or not hurt, or not that something bad happened, but that you were broken before God. I'm going to show you that this morning. The first danger is that you're unworthy. The second danger is that you're worthy. Two dangers. I know I presented a helpless case this morning that you can't win. So my request is that you examine yourself. Where are you at? Are you worthy or are you unworthy? Which one? Sharing the Lord's Supper is a very serious event. It's no small thing that we do. We're not doing it just because it's Sunday or because it was on the calendar. We do it because God tells us to. We do it because it's something holy and sacred. The whole word ordinance, we get that from our word order. It's something we're ordered and commanded to do by Jesus Christ. Just like baptism, we're ordered to take communion. It's something that's special, but it's also very, very dangerous. It's a decision that shouldn't be taken lightly. But most of you and myself most Sundays decide whether we're going to take or not take before we even get out of bed Sunday morning. You spend about as much time praying about the Lord's Supper as you did doing your hair. And most of us, myself included, wait until the time before we take that the pastor says, okay, examine yourself. I'm going to give you 3.5 minutes to get ready. That's our time to get ready. Now, husbands, does that work with your wives in the morning? You got 3.5 minutes, and the car's out of the driveway. I shouldn't pick on the women. Some men take just as long. We don't do it there. But when it comes to Lord's Supper, man, you're waiting right now. Well, I'll examine myself and prepare, because in a minute, Daniel's going to say, all right, prepare yourself. And during that time, you'll say, forgive me 1,000 times. Think, okay, I'm ready. I'm good. I'm worthy now. And it means that we don't take it serious. I say right up front that those of the two sins or the two dangers, the sin of presumption or unworthiness, the sin of presumption or thinking yourself to be worthy is by far the more dangerous to commit. If you're here under the weight of sin this morning and you realize that you're unworthy to come and partake the table, you very well know it and realize it. You knew it before you came in this morning. When you saw that table, you thought, I am not prepared to take this. But those that suffer under the idea that I am worthy and I'm okay, you don't even know that you have a problem this morning. You haven't known for years that you have a problem when you come and take the Lord's Supper. You don't even realize it. The Holy Spirit has convicted those that feel unworthy. He's speaking to them and he's talking to them. Your sin is known to you. It's heavy on your shoulders and you're ready to give it to Christ. You're ready to lay it down. But those that don't, those that think they're worthy, those that come with their shoulders back and their suits on, ready to enter that restaurant, you don't even know the problem. That's why the sin of being worthy and thinking you're worthy is too dangerous. Those that feel unworthy, they're not afraid to admit it. Most aren't afraid to pass it by, like my friend. He would tell me point blank, I'm just not who I need to be. But I bet you in that same church, there were 100 just like him that took. And they weren't who they needed to be either. And they weren't ready either. But he would admit it and they wouldn't. See, those that think they're worthy, usually there's something in our minds and hearts that we won't admit it. For those here and guilty of the sin of presumption, for those that feel you're worthy, you're probably not aware of your sin at all. You probably wouldn't admit it at all. That's why it's most dangerous. It's there, but you don't even realize it. It's there, but you don't recognize it. We're going to talk about that danger in a second. But first, I want to address those that feel if they're not worthy today. If you're here today, and as I've spoken, you've said, you know what? I've decided I'm not ready. I'm not worthy. I've examined myself, and I realize I'm not. You're here, and as I've shared, you've flipped through the page of your past, and you're weak, and you've wondered, I don't know if I should take communion today. There's unforgiveness in your past. There's angry words in your past. There are deeds you've done in your past that you're not proud of. There are good things that you were supposed to do in your past that you didn't do. Some of you have memories that go back weeks and months and years, and at moments like these, when you begin to think about the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, you begin to be ashamed. There's something that cries out inside of you, and over again, you hear the words, guilty. You're not worthy. You're sinful. You're evil. You're bad. You can't take the Lord's Supper. You need to pass it by today. My heart goes out to you today. After all, who among us would dare say, I'm worthy? I'm worthy to take the Lord's Supper. Who would dare say, I'm so clean and so pure that it's okay for me to come? Isn't it true that we're all sinners? Isn't it true that we all fall short of the glory of God? Is there anyone here that can really, really, really say, I'm worthy? So how do we examine ourselves according to Paul? What does God really require from us before we can take the Lord's Supper? Does he want us to promise that this time will be good? Because I challenge you, it's what I've done for 31 years now. Let me get my age right. I've been a Christian for, man, my math's terrible, 25 of those years almost. And you know what I did when the pastor said prepare myself? You know what I did? Father, forgive me. I'm sorry for disobeying my parents. I'm sorry for doing this. I'm sorry for doing that. I just need you to wash me with the blood of Jesus right now, please. I'll be better. I'll be good. I won't do it again. I'll do my best to be a good Christian. That's what we do, and in 10 minutes, that's what you are going to do this morning. And it's not a terrible thing. I just want you to see that's what we do in our mind. Man, we make these promises. And the question is, when God says examine ourselves, is that really what God wants? Does he want us to promise that this time will be good? Does he want us to promise that next time we'll try harder? Does he want us to promise that this week we're going to do better than the week before? Is that really what God wants from us? Psalms 51, verse 16. If you want to turn there in your Bible, you can. I'm going to read it. Psalm 51, verse 16. I'll give you just a second. I'd rather you read it this morning. Psalm 51, verse 16. You can keep your thumb on 1 Corinthians. We're going to be right back there. Psalm 51, verse 16. It says, for you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with the burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it, David says. He's praying to God. He says, for you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Examine yourself, Paul says. Examine yourself for what? What are we looking for today? Sin? Rebellion? Hate? Jealousy? Unforgiveness? Examine yourself. Have you looked this morning? It's there. All that stuff I just listed, it's there. It's in my life. it's in your life. So Paul, what in the world are we looking for? Examine yourself. Okay, Paul, I have, and I know it's there. If it's sin that we're looking for, we'll find it. So Paul says, examine ourselves. What does God want? What are we to look for? More promises? More money in the offering? More commitments that we'll do better next week? If that's what you're preparing to offer God this morning, stop. Stop. You're wrong. I'm wrong. We're dead wrong. We're dangerously wrong. Do not think for one second that this is what God requires for you to be ready to partake today. I've done it all my life. That's what I've done to get ready. Okay, I'm ready now, God. That's what we do. The truth is, there's nothing, though, that we can say or do that makes any difference for us. God doesn't want us to promise we'll be good because He knows we won't be good. God doesn't want us to promise to be better because He knows we won't be better. That's just the reality of sin. He doesn't want any more sacrifices. He doesn't want them. That's what David was doing. Those sacrifices were sin offerings to God. I sin, and let me go sacrifice. And David says, you know what? God, you don't delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You're not pleased with burnt offering. But what you want, God, the sacrifices of God, are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. That's what God wants for us. You don't delight in sacrifice. You don't delight in burnt offering. So when we come and say, God, we're going to be better. We're going to give you more time. We're going to give you more money. We're going to read our Bibles more. We're going to pray more. God says, you know what? I don't delight in sacrifice. That's not going to make you good enough to come this morning. That's not going to make you worthy enough to come this morning. I want brokenness. That word that's so strange to us. Brokenness. A broken and contrite heart. That's what God's after today. Examine yourself, church. The truth of Scripture is simple. We're weak, we're lazy, we're indifferent, we're casual when we should be concerned, we're self-indulgent, we're hypocritical, we're quarrelsome, we gossip, we're unfaithful, we're easily distracted. In every way, we're sinful. In every way, we're not worthy to stand before this table today. We're not. But listen, and listen carefully. Don't miss this. The truth of the gospel, the truth of Jesus Christ, the truth of the message that we have here in front of us, something we can whoop about. The truth of Scripture is simple. We don't come because we're worthy. We don't come to Christ because we're worthy. We're not worthy, and nothing we can do will ever make us worthy. The truth of the gospel is this: we come because He is worthy. We come because He is righteous. We come because He is holy. We can come because He has shared that righteousness and that worthiness and that holiness with us. See, sometimes in our minds we think what has happened when we put our faith in Jesus that we become good. That we become holy. That we become righteous. But the truth is, we become His righteousness. We become His holiness. We become His worthiness. When you put your faith in Jesus, you don't become good. Christ gives you His goodness. Christ gives you His worthiness. Christ gives you His righteousness. The amazing thing about that is we don't get to throw our shoulders back and say, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, I'm going to come right in and I'm going to partake. No, we come and we know I'm unworthy. But Christ, you're worthy. But Christ, you are righteous. You are holy. And because of that, I can come with confidence today. That's what Hebrews says. We approach the throne of grace with confidence. We know. You know what? It's nothing of me, but it's all you, Jesus. And because of that, I can come. We can come because He shared His righteousness with us. We can come because God justifies the ungodly. We can come because God saves the sinner. That's why we can come this morning. If the guilt and the memories and the hesitations and the doubts are so great within you this morning that you wonder if you're worthy to come to the Lord's table, I've got really good news for you today. You're a wonderful candidate for the grace of God. God's waiting for you. Christian, non-Christian alike, we believe in Christ, and yeah, your sin's covered and you put on His righteousness, but sometimes we take the weight of sin and we put it right back in our shoulders. And if that's you this morning, you're a wonderful candidate for the grace of God. If you've never done that, if you've never put your faith in Jesus, if you carried your sin all your life, and as I've shared and as I talked about this, you know I can't partake, you're a wonderful candidate for the grace of God this morning. God wants to trade your sin for His righteousness. He wants to trade your sin for His holiness. That's what the table's about this morning. The good news of the gospel is that your sins do matter. They are big things. They mattered enough that Jesus Christ came, died for them, took them to the cross to make you holy. That's what this table's about today. That's what it's about every time we share. So those of you today that are believers and you don't feel like you're worthy, you're in good company today. You're not worthy. I'm not worthy. But Christ is worthy. The power of the gospel is that Christ has shared His worthiness with you and me. It's amazing. He's taken every sin. He's removed every stain. Not so you and I can come to the table with our shoulders back, so that we can come on our knees, so that we can come broken and contrite and realize we don't deserve to be here. But Christ, You've made us worthy. You've placed Your worthiness on us. And it cost You great. You are unworthy. You've rightly examined Yourself today. You've rightly examined Yourself. You've chosen correctly. I love that part in the Indiana Jones movie. He's going to pick the cup of Christ, and the bad guy comes in and he picks the big gold one and he gulps it down, and the knight just simply says, "He chose poorly. He chose poorly. Of course, he dies. He chose poorly." If you said today that I'm unworthy to come, you've examined yourself right. But you've misunderstood what God requires. If you've said today you're unworthy, you've misunderstood what God requires. You may have examined yourself right today, but you mistook God. You thought that He wanted goodness and He wanted obedience and He wanted you to come in here perfect and clean and scrubbed and washed. You thought that. That's not what God's after today. Those that say they're unworthy, God wants you broken. See, your brokenness, it's never meant to keep you from this table. It's good that you come in here and say, I'm unworthy. It's good that you come in here and say, I'm a sinner and I don't deserve the grace that you're offering. That's a good thing. That's what it means to be broken before God. But brokenness was never meant to keep you from sharing in the Lord's table. Brokenness ought to cause you to run to it. It ought to cause you to embrace it. As we partake of the body and the blood of Christ, it ought to remind you that why you're not worthy, one who is worthy has deemed you worthy and He's placed His righteousness on your life, and that ought to make us run to the cross of Jesus and embrace it. We ought to cry out for it. Brokenness is to push us to the Savior, not away. There's another danger. There is a danger of considering yourself unworthy. But secondly, there's the danger of considering yourself worthy. It's a different ball game. It's a little trickier. The sin of presumption is a lot more difficult to acknowledge. It eludes us, really, in our spirituality. It's when we take something that is so sacred and something that is so holy and we treat it as it's casual, or it's something that we just do once a quarter and no big deal. So no reason giving it our full attention today. It's just routine. It's what happens when you come to church on Sunday and there in the front is this table and it's special, but you respond in a way that it really doesn't matter. You're no different today than any other day. And to that the Apostle Paul says, "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the blood and body of the Lord. Let a person examine himself." See, many people think that what Paul is saying here is that before you come to communion, you've got to clean yourself up. We get this idea that we have to confess all of our sins and make ourselves ready to come to the table. So during that time that I always offer, you take that minute to prepare yourselves. You ask for forgiveness, kind of like running the car through the car wash. You'll try and clean up. It's like that 5-star restaurant that requires a suit to enter. There's some here today that believe in all their heart that they've got their best suit on. God, it's Sunday, and I'm going to clean up my life, my act, and I'm going to come worthy of you today. And so we do. We dress up kind of like I did this morning. By the way, you know I don't wear a suit often, but I do on the Lord's Supper Day. Isn't that a great picture? We put in our best in front of God. We suit up. And we think, you know, God, as I come today, I'm wearing my best. I'm bringing my best. I'm remembering all the good things that I've done. I go to church Sundays. I go to church Wednesdays. I tithe regularly. You line all that stuff in your mind. But God, I do have these things I want you to forgive this morning, and I'm ready. The unworthy person won't even try to come inside. They don't want to partake. They know they're unworthy. They're careful about it. But those that think they're worthy, they will. They'll go in that 5-star restaurant. They'll put on their best suit and they'll think, you know what? I fit in here among these Christians, among these religious folk, among the holy of the holy of Dillion. This is where I fit in, First Baptist Church. Somewhere in our minds today, we think, okay, I'm ready now. I'm worthy. Your thinking is that you have to be worthy and ready to come to the Lord's table. So when you examine yourself, that's what you do. In your mind, you put on your best suit. But this is what God's Word tells us today. It's impossible. It's inconceivable. God doesn't want sacrifice. God doesn't want sacrifice. God doesn't want your broken promises. Your best still stinks to God. It's like filthy rags. That's what he says, sinners, their righteousness is like filthy rags. Who can make themselves acceptable to God? How could it be that you could wash yourself and clean yourself and make yourself ready enough? There isn't a strong enough soap, church. It can't happen. How can it be that you've confessed all your sins? How can you ever, ever be sure? Yeah, you could spend that 5 minutes in a minute confessing all you can think of, but you won't even touch the surface. How can it be then? How can we come? Sometimes we think in our prayer and our Bible reading, our church attendance, that we climb up this ladder of God's acceptance and we're okay. If you're like that this morning, your ladder's leaning on the wrong wall. I remember in college, my grandfather called me over one time to trim a tree in his yard, and he had a limb, and the limb was about this big. It went out sideways from his place. And he had taken the fence down so it could fall without destroying the fence. And he said, Daniel, if you would come and cut that tree, and I didn't even look, the ladder was already leaned up against the tree. I just climbed it with the chainsaw and started the chainsaw up. Started cutting. Cut and cut and cut and cut and cut until I almost got to that tree. For some reason, my ladder started to move. I was leaning up against the limb I was cutting. I thought he had positioned the ladder correctly. I didn't even think about it, but he just set it out there for me to move later. So here I'm with this big limb, and here my ladder's leaning against it, and I'm almost through. That thing starts to twist and timber. I realize I'm going to the ground, and I'm holding a chainsaw that's running as fast as it can, and so I did what every smart man does. I threw the chainsaw. I didn't want to fall on the thing. Me and that limb went tumbling to the ground. As I thought about this morning, if you come in here ready, if you come in here worthy, if you come in here and cleaned yourself up and made yourself ready, your ladder's leaning on the wrong wall this morning. That wall's going to fall. It's not able to support you. David tells us that God does not want your sacrifice. Your burnt offerings just smell bad. You don't have anything to offer God. That's not how it works. When you examine yourself, you better find the right thing. Sin and unworthiness. Because anything else in your ladder's on the wrong thing. It's leaning on something that won't hold. David tells us that God does not want sacrifice. You either come by the grace of God or you don't come at all. That's how we come to the Lord's table this morning. In ourselves, we're unworthy. And by ourselves, we're unworthy. There's nothing we can do to make ourselves worthy to share today. Jesus has already done it. He's already died. He's already risen from the dead. When you put your faith in Him, He gives you His worthiness. He declares you righteous. He justifies you in the sight of God. It's like in those 5-star restaurants. Just thinking, and I don't know what brought these restaurants to my mind this morning, but you know what they have? They have something called a house suit. If you're poor like me and you got one or two suits and you don't wear it out very often and you can't go in there without it, they have what's called a house suit. And that guy at the front door, he'll tell you, you don't have your suit on, you can't come in, but we have some in here you can borrow. And they're hanging on a rack. They have suits. And if you don't have a suit on, they want your money still. They'll put you in one of their suits and you can go in and eat. You know, some of us think we're unworthy. I can't enter into the Lord's Supper because I don't have the right suit on. Others think, oh, I've got the right suit on. I'm as good a Christian as it can be. First Baptist Church, my theology's right, my evangelism's right, I know God's word, I'm ready to go in. And as you're walking in that restaurant, you're tattered and torn because our own righteousness, it's filthy rags. But when we come and we say, God, you know what? I don't have anything to wear. I don't have any way to come except by you. I'm not even worthy to enter in and partake today. God says, here's my righteousness. Here's my holiness. Wear my suit. Put this on. It's not yours. It has nothing to do with you. Cost me dearly, but I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. Hebrews 10 tells us that once we put our faith in Jesus, we're sanctified through the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Coming to the Lord's table is the same way. We don't have the right suit. We can't buy it. We can't make it. We can't earn it. There's no way we can come on our own merit this morning or ever. But when we come on our knees, we come broken and contrite. Contrite means as we come as a sinner, we come repenting. God puts His righteousness on us. Christ gives us His suit. He places His holiness on us. You see, we often misinterpret Paul's words. He says, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner. That phrase, unworthy manner, is just one word in the Greek. It's an adverb. It's not a noun, by the way. We make it a noun sometimes in our mind. We say we're either a worthy person or an unworthy person. That's not what Paul says. Paul's not talking about who you are, worthy or unworthy. He's not talking about two different types of people. He's talking about how you come. Not who you are. He's talking about how you come. There's a world of difference between those two things. You're not perfect. You're never going to be worthy. He's not talking about who you are. He's talking about how you come. It's not about who comes, but how you come. So if you say to yourself, this is no big deal, this is just juice and crackers, or if you say to yourself, I'm doing pretty good, I got a pretty nice suit on this morning, I'm pretty good this week, I've been witnessing, I've been praying, I'm really close to God, in your mind, you're dressed and ready for that 5-star restaurant. That's how you're coming. But when you come that way in God's eyes, you come in ragged and tattered and torn because you're wearing your own righteousness. It's not about who comes, it's about how you come. Truth is, we do not have a suit nice enough for this table. Jesus told a story in Luke 18, we're going to close with this, about two men. They'd come to the temple to pray. One man was a Pharisee. You know the type. He felt right at home in church. He was a very religious person. We would probably like him and get along with him well. He came into the temple, and the Bible says he stood up and he looked to heaven. And he said, oh God, I thank you that I'm not like those other people. I thank you that I'm not a robber or a crook. I'm not a murderer. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not like those other people. Lord, you're lucky to have me, basically. I fast twice a week. I tithe out of my income. That was the substance of his prayer. But then Jesus is telling this story, by the way. Jesus said another man comes, and he stands far off. Why would he stand far off from coming into the temple? Am I worthy to go in? Should I go? That man seems a lot better than me. Am I dressed right? Can I enter in there? Jesus says he stands far off. He wouldn't even lift his head to heaven. Instead, he beats on his chest and he cries out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus asks a question, which do you think went home justified? Which do you think went home saved? Not the religious man wrapped in his own cloak of self-righteousness. Not the one in his own suit. Not the one wearing the thing that he thought looked so good. And that's not the one. Jesus said, but the sinner, the man who was an outcast, the one that clung to the mercy of God, the one that everyone else thought looked the worst, that's the one that went home justified. He was set free. He was forgiven. Why? Because he asked God to dress him. He relied totally on the Lord. Good news, any sinners in here hearing my words, anyone out there that's blown it so badly that you feel like you shouldn't even be here at church this Sunday, any hypocrites out there, anybody who knows that you need the mercy of God, anybody desperate for the grace of God this morning, God says, welcome to the table of the Lord. Welcome. Partake. Share. If you have the blood of Jesus in your life, he's made you worthy. You're ready this morning. Not because of you. Not because of anything you've done. But because of who he is. In the Bible, God is called the God of grace, and his throne is called the throne of grace, and his table, seven times, is called the table of grace. For it's here that we come in contact with the grace of God. Reminds us of who we are and where we've come from. So if you come to it flippantly and casually, you come to it thinking you're a good enough person to be here, you miss the whole point. But if you've come as an unworthy person, hesitating and doubtful, if you come from a distance, conscious of your weaknesses and your failures, God will receive you today. That's what grace is. It's undeserved favor. Undeserved favor. If anybody is hungry, if anybody is thirsty, come to the table of the Lord. You'll receive something to drink and something to eat there that won't go away. Are you worthy? No, you're not. But it's the grace of God that invites us. It's the love of God that pleads with us to come. It's by God's grace that we were saved. It's by his grace that we are brought from the dead. He's made us his children. By grace, God has given us his name. And by grace, he invites you, come and eat with me. Come and dine with me. He commands us, come, do this in remembrance of me. How will you come this morning? I'm going to ask that the accompanists, if they would please come. Rocky's going to sing in just a second. We're going to have a short invitation. Believers, enter this morning. It's time for you to prepare yourself for the table of the Lord. Be careful. Apply what you've learned today. I urge you, if you're one here that sees himself as unworthy today, come find the grace of God. It's meant for you. God's grace is meant for those that are unworthy. We're all unworthy. Know today that it's never your worthiness. It's always his. Always has been his. You just embrace that today. For those believers here that think themselves worthy, for those that have come with their own coat on of self-righteousness, those that have counted your deeds and you approach this table today on your own merit, you need to take off your own righteousness today. You need to take off that coat that you think so beautiful. God's word says it's not. You need to take it off and you need to come, whether in your seat or to this altar, and you need to say, God, break me today. Break me today. Bend my knee. Bend my heart. It's not your sacrifice God wants. It's your broken and contrite heart. It's my guess that many of us don't even know what brokenness means. You have to know brokenness to know what the table of the Lord represents. Will you invite God to break you this morning? Will you say, God, I've had my shoulders back for way too long. But I know I'm unworthy. And God, I just invite you, break me today. Break me today. Maybe for the first time in your life, will you allow God to break you? For those that aren't Christians here today, for those that never put their faith in Jesus Christ, If your sin is great and your heart is evil and your life seems hopeless, and you can know today that is why Jesus came and died. He came for you. That's why we're here this morning, because God saves sinners. If you've never made that decision to come to Jesus, I want to invite you this morning. As Rocky sings, I'm going to be down front, and I would love to introduce you, to lead you to Jesus this morning, to show you a God that will take your sin, that will change your heart, that will give you hope in life today. If you'll come, God's love and grace and salvation, it was made for you. You just have to reach out and accept it by faith. I'll be down front if you'll stand as Rocky comes and sings.